your Bibles, please, and turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And there in verses 2 through 5, we have a lot of things that we are thinking about in relationship to Paul as he was a missionary. And there are things that we can learn and be reminded to pray for the missionaries. I don't think tonight I have to remind us we should pray for the missionaries. Amen? And that's probably something that we could do a lot better continually. I learned a long time ago, let's just talk about a Sunday school teacher. A Sunday school teacher that's praying for her kids by name has no trouble remembering their names. A bus captain that prays for the kids on their bus route every day has no trouble remembering most of those names. A Christian school teacher that's praying over all of his kids will not have trouble remembering and pronouncing names, for they're coming off his lips regularly. You get my general gist. We won't have trouble remembering our missionaries if we're praying for them. And probably a good indication that we're not praying is we don't know who they are and what country, and we know maybe the man's name, but we have no clue who his wife and children are. It tells us the shallowness of our prayer life for the missionaries. It just sort of telltales on us. And so you can say, oh me, pastor, get after us. Well, it should be convicting to us. We say we're behind you. We're right there behind you. And we've heard over the years, you've heard missionaries say, yes, we need your money. Yes, we need your interest. But we would take more than anything else your prayers. And I tell you, after you've been on the field and gone through the battles, you realize that the prayers are more valuable than the things people give. Now, they should get both. But I hope that we will be encouraged to pray for the missionaries. Can I ask you, have you chosen a few missionaries that are maybe your special prayer people? Over the years, there are some missionaries that have caught my attention more than others, especially when I was not in the pastorate, when I was still in college and I was in high school, there were certain missionaries I just fell in love with. I mean, they just caught me. And I prayed for them and I kept touch with them and they were on my heart. Do you have a missionary that you sort of picked up on your own? Nobody told you to do it. You just fell in love with them. You said, I'm going to stand behind you. Maybe at Christmas you send them an extra gift and nobody even knows about it. Maybe you find out their birthdays. And often on their little prayer cards, they'll have their birthdays, you know, sort of listed underneath their pictures, you know. Do you have somebody like that that you maybe adopted as another family parallel to yours? I challenge you. Do you have maybe... You could do it any way you want. In our family, we always had, when our kids were home, here's the place we ate supper, and there was a bulletin board and all the missionaries, and we'd choose a different missionary each night to talk about and pray about. And then during our devotions time, we had a big old box, and we drew missionaries' names special to pray each night. We were always talking about missionaries. On our refrigerator are all the pictures of our missionaries and their prayer cards right there for us to notice and be reminded. Are the missionaries up in the front of your mind? You know what? They're heroes. Boy, we look at all the big football players. I don't know all of them anymore, but my day and age, you have people like Joe Namath and all those kind of people. Everybody knows their names. Our heroes for our kids ought to be listed out as our missionaries and our evangelists and our pastors and these kind of leaders that are laying their lives out for Jesus. And they will catch that status if that's the way we treat them. And so I challenge us tonight to fall in love with our missionaries, to get behind them and to pray for them. So tonight, how to pray for the missionaries. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. Watch in the same with thanksgiving. Notice it says continue in prayer. And this means God's just telling us we need to stay with it. Don't just pray once in a while. Continue praying with them. How long should we pray for the missionaries? I tell you, they're on the field 20, 30, 40, 50 years. I'm sort of a rare bird as a pastor in one sense. I've been here 39 years. A lot of missionaries that come through that we support will say recently, in the last 5 years, you're the only pastor, one of two pastors, that is the same pastor was voted, when they voted to take us on, you were the pastor. Most of the churches they're going to, they have to say, hello, my name is Fred Fuller, and I'm your missionary manager. Oh, I've always wanted to meet you. The pastor has never met them. But the people know them. The people are there. It's a pastor that's maybe switched out every 5, 10, 15 years. It's quite common in churches for it to happen that often. And so if a church is going to stay involved in missions, it's got to go past the pastor's heart. It should be there, but it should go past that. The deacons should carry it up. The leaders in the church should carry it up. The Sunday school teachers in your classes, adopt a missionaries and continue this burden for prayer. Maybe the preacher doesn't know about Fred Fuller having a liver problem. Somebody needs to tell him. Continue in prayer for these missionaries. And so it says, continue in prayer, watch in the same. And the idea of watching is that idea that you're diligent, isn't it? You're very diligent. You're taking care of it. Watch gives me the idea of, like, there's a lady that she's got something cooking on the stove, and then she's got something else going on over here, and she's just got one eyeball on the stove the whole time. Her ears over here. She got her nose. She's smelling something that's going to burn. She's watching. Or when I was a boy, I can remember on the farm, my dad would say to my mom, somebody's going to deliver something. You need to watch for the delivery man. He's bringing feed. He's bringing fertilizer. He's going to be bringing something by. And so my mom would have one eye up the road. We were the only ones that lived on the road. And she'd be watching for him so that she could go out and meet him and give him the check or whatever it was that she had to do. We should continue, and we should be watching for our missionaries. This is sort of the introduction. We are commanded to continue and to watch. Look at verse 3. With all praying for us, that God would, number one, open unto us a door of utterance. Here's the first thing we can pray. Lord, give the missionaries an open opportunity. You know, in our culture, even though we're frustrated with our culture, Christianity is still pretty accepted. You give somebody an invitation to church, they expect it. You give them a tract, oh, that's what Christians do, and they talk about Jesus, and want to pray over their meals, and all that kind of stuff. But let's take you over into another culture. Let's take you into India, where there's Muslim and Hindu. Let's take you maybe down in South America, where there's different things. You, Lord, give us an opportunity that people will listen with open ears and hearts to the gospel. It'd be no different than in our culture if a Hindu was looking for an open door for someone to listen to them. I'm not going to listen to a Hindu try to convert me. Are you? Are you? No. I'm not going to have somebody come over and try to get me to believe in Confucius. I mean, it's not even going to be on my mind. I'm really interested. It's not in our culture. It's not in our mindset. And so you put that in reverse. For somebody in a different culture, taught different religious roots, for the missionary to have an open door, it's going to take the Lord opening that opportunity where they will listen with credibility. Let's pick Brother Pope over in Thailand. You know, Pastor Stephen showed us some of the pictures when he was over there, and you see the temples and all the different things. Remember how he walked in there and all that? That's a totally different animal compared to our culture. And we did pray that Dr. Pope and his ministries, the people would have an opportunity to be listened to and the gospel be considered even in their minds. So number one, let's pray, God, and you fill in the missionary's name, open up a door of utterance for them, that the people will let them and they'll listen. You know, one of the things that Paul said in different places in the book of Acts, that you receive the word of God as it was, or as it is, the word of God. And we need to pray that people will understand that these are men of God and they will give them that kind of a listen. Let's go on in verse 4, please. that I may make manifest as I ought to speak. This is the same thing we're supposed to pray for. Number one was open doors. Number two, that I'll make manifest as I ought to. I put it down this way. Pray for boldness. I know my personal nature. People don't believe this necessarily about me anymore. Inside, I'm a very timid person. To be a missionary and go over into a foreign country and then to look for an opportunity in a very hostile environment to be bold, we need to ask God to give them that kind of a confidence. Boldness. To speak as I ought to. In other words, to say the whole ball of wax, to hold nothing back, to not apologize for the gospel, to stand up and give the whole thing to them, to speak as I ought to speak. Hey, by the way, we should pray for ourselves on that one. That I'll speak as I ought to my workmates and family members and my next door neighbors. Here's that door of utterance comes. Lord, help me to speak as I ought to. This is how we should pray for our missionaries. That when the door opens, they will fully step through it with confidence. Because humanly saying, maybe that's not their cup of tea, we might say. Look on in Colossians 4:5. That we walk in wisdom toward them that are without. The idea without is not just those that are without the gospel, it's those that are outside the church. That I walk in wisdom to those that don't know. And so wisdom, Lord, I'm looking for these open doors, I'm looking for boldness, but Lord, give me wisdom. When should I speak up? And sometimes there's a value in keeping your mouth quiet. Lord, give me wisdom. Let me give you in our own culture. San Francisco is pretty well known in the last 25, 30 years as a home, sort of the hotbed of homosexuality. And there's a lot of strife in that city in years past. And really, as a city, when people going door to door in San Francisco, that city has pretty well hardened up. Here in Houston, we can go out and knock on doors, and we may get frustrated with a few things that sometimes impede us, but in San Francisco, they won't even answer. You can ring the doorbell, nobody will come. And so you know what the pastors, I can remember 20, 30 years ago, hearing a pastor say, pray for wisdom, we can't get through the front door. We don't know how to do it. How do we get into their home? And God began to give them some ideas on how to get through those front doors. How to get the gospel in places where they had sealed themselves off from the culture purposely, where they were afraid of crime and all the other things. How can we get their attention? We need a plan. We need a way. And it's outside of our normal thinking. And God, give me wisdom towards them. Do you feel like sometimes you need that same thing yourself? Maybe how to approach somebody. Lord, I've tried to talk to them and I can't get through. Lord, wisdom. So we want to pray that they would have wisdom. This past Bible time, we told the story of our missionary story of Hudson Taylor. Thank you. We had pictures of Hudson right there, Mr. Taylor, all dressed up in Chinese things. But one of the interesting things about Hudson Taylor that was different, Hudson Taylor was one of the first missionaries that actually began to dress like the Chinese. Do you know one of the hindrances that was the English missionaries in the early 1800s? They would go over in the colonies of England, dressed up in their English suits, and there was a wall between the two societies. And God, Hudson Taylor began to pray and pray, God, help us to get past this wall. And one of the things God told him, put on the Chinese clothes. Well, there were some people that wrote notes about Hudson Taylor that he was a reprobate because he did such a thing. He went over and dressed like the heathen. But I tell you, God gave him wisdom, and that began to open up the doors to the inland China missions and all the different things. And it took courage to step through that door. We need to pray for our missionaries that they would have wisdom toward those that are outside of the gospel. and know how to get their attention. So we saw a door of utterance, boldness, wisdom on how to make this program. I wonder, have we been praying that way for our missionaries? Lord, be with, and you fill in that missionary's name. Let's just take Southland Christian Camp. You know, Southland every week has a different, whole different set of kids. And every week it takes another whole pile of wisdom, doesn't it, to be able to accomplish what's going on there. Look over in 2 Thessalonians, please, if you will, with me. I'm sorry, I skipped one. Look at back in Colossians 3, verse 5. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without. And here's our fourth thing. Redeeming the time. This is something we need to pray for our missionaries, that they would be able to redeem time. What does it mean to redeem time? It means to buy it back, doesn't it? Time is short. And you know, in some of these cultures, missionaries just feel like, the job is so big and I'm one. Lord, help me to use my every moment of my day to the fullest of its opportunity. Multiply my days, multiply my hours, to buy back my time. I don't want to shatter your opinion of missionaries, but I remember when I was in Bible college, there was a teacher, Dr. Newts, used to take missionaries down to some islands at Christmas time. He'd take different students down. And he said one of the things that they realized, there were several missionaries, not from sort of good churches, but other missionaries that were down there were as lazy as a dog. The only time that they would ever have big meetings is when they thought there was somebody coming down taking a trip. They would then put an advertisement in the paper, and the barrels of clothes, I used to say, send them, they'd take all those clothes and say, we're having a cloth given away, we're having food given away. And so here would come the missionary executives, and they examine their missionary and say, wow, they got a whole full mission. But the rest of the time, Brother Minute said, if you looked on top of the cliffs and the really nice places where all the rich Americans would come down and have their mansions, that's where the missionaries were living and were separated from their people. Can you imagine a missionary getting so lax and lazy that he lived up on the mission heights, separated among his people, and only looked at the people as an exhibit A, B, and C? We need to pray that our missionaries will redeem the time. Missions monies and missions callings and all the rest are very sacrificial. Once again, I'm not trying to criticize our missionaries. Please don't take it that way. But we need to pray that God will help them to buy back the hours. For these cultures need Jesus Christ. And that God will help them to be productive in the efforts, and that they will be disciplined, and they'll get up in the morning, and they'll spend time in the Word of God, and that they will use the maximum of their abilities and spread the gospel as they can and make the impact with their life. So pray that they will redeem the time. Now turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look at verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have what? Free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And here we need to pray that the word of God would have the freedom to penetrate. We prayed for boldness. We prayed for open doors. But I put it down here that the preaching would go forth with power. Only God can give that to a missionary. By the way, would you pray that for your pastor? Would you pray for me if you want to pray for Pastor Butts, this is the way you can pray for me. You pray that on every time that I get in the pulpit, that the Word of God would penetrate, it would have power, it would change lives, it would be received, and would go forth and make a difference in people's lives. That's the way we should pray for our missionaries. That their preaching would change people's lives. And expect God to see conversions in these societies and churches made, beachheads for the gospel across these different countries around the world. So powerful preaching. There was a missionary that we had several years ago that worked in the prisons. He said that when it seemed like there was a period of time for months and months, they were holding prison Bible studies and prison revivals where they would go in and be with the missionaries would go in for 3 or 4 days and hold revivals. But nobody was being saved. And they began to send out notes to their people, pray that the word of God would go forth with power and break the stronghold of sin on these prisoners' lives. And they began to just pray and pray. And he said, one day when the power of God fell upon a certain prison revival, it didn't just break the gospel there. It's hard to imagine, but it spread all through Texas and all the way out to the East Coast as prisoners were being transformed. The power of the gospel was changing those prisoners. Let's pray that their preaching would go forth with penetrating power. We don't want just to see the word of God go forth, but have free course. Nothing hindering it. Then it would hit its mark of the unsaved in their hearts. Lord, empower our preaching, the preaching of our missionaries, the preaching, as we said, of your pastor. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 18. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Well, here's an interesting thing to pray for missionaries. Pray that they'll stay right with God. Can a missionary get backslidden? Can a pastor get backslidden? Yes. We need to pray that God will help our missionaries to stay consistently right with God and stay in revival. They're not magic people. Can you imagine with me for a moment? You're over in some country, you haven't been to a regular church preaching service that you haven't preached at, you haven't seen many converts yet, you're there alone, things are tough, it's been a year or 2 years since you've really had any good fellowship, would you tend to get a little discouraged? Could it be easy to get backslidden in that category? It really is. When I was in Bible college, there was a group that went down to Australia for about a 4-week mission period. They went into the Aborigines back, years ago, where the middle of Australia was still filled with original Aborigines, and the missionaries were trying to reach that. I remember when they came back second semester and reported on their trip, they said, "We've never experienced anything like it." When we went in, the missionary said, "We will not keep you in the bush for longer than 7 days, and we'll take you out for 4 days and bring you in for 7 days and then out for 4 days." They would sleep 12-hour shifts. And when the missionaries were telling these young mission students, they said, "That sounds like crazy that you're sleeping 12 hours and we're only there for a short period of time. You're giving us 4 days off and 4 days off and 4 days off." They said, "You can't imagine in a place where demonic power is absolutely paramount in charge, how just the physical drain it has on your body." Those in prison work say the same thing, by the way. Where Satan is just totally dominant. In that same environment, it's not too difficult for a missionary to be pulled in himself. We need to pray for our missionaries, lest they be tempted, and lest they be destroyed by the destroyer in the midst of all that. Turn with me to Mark chapter 14, please. Mark chapter 14. Look at verse 38. "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is what? Weak." This one is similar to the consistent life, but I would say here next, we need to pray that they will be persistent to finish the job. The spirit's ready, but the flesh is weak. How many times have you made a decision to do something for God, pretty determined, revival meeting, personal devotions, Pastor Butts preaching, you walked out of the church auditorium, got up off your knees, you were ready, and you didn't make it to Tuesday? Has that ever been you? No. Just Fred back there, I guess, is the only one that's true. Fred, you need to get your heart right. Okay. We need to pray the missionaries will stick with the call. Persistent. Do you know a lot of missionaries? I don't know the percentages, but I believe they approach over 50%. Never go back to the field after the first term. It's a large number. They've been to Bible college, 2, 3, who knows how many years out gathering money, get to the mission field. The pressure is on in every which way, and they come home and say, I think I'm just going to take a pastorate over there in Katy. It's just too hard to go to the mission field. A lot harder than I ever dreamed. And that call of God just sort of gets pushed off to the side. We need to pray that missionaries will be able to persist. We had a missionary, Jack Henderson. When our church was really young, I asked him to come and talk to us about what is it like for a missionary to go to the field and pray for him? And he began to go through from the time that he and his wife, when they got married and they were out of Bible college and they got in the, they were headed to Mexico and going deep into the mountains of Mexico. And on the road, guess what happened? They got pregnant. And about a year into their mission, she found out she's having twins, and finally the twins are born and they're excited, but they're still on the road. Now their support level goes way up. You got twins to support, and plus all the trouble of having a baby's on, and then double on the road and all the rest. And he talked about how hard all that was. And finally they persisted and they got down into inner Mexico and they had their money and they were excited. And they got, and he began to describe what it was like to go through culture shock. We forget that word, culture shock. They went down there and they had this money to buy equipment, you know, to buy a washer and a dryer and rent a house and do all this. And they got into the town. There's no places to rent. Nobody had a washer and dryer. One guy had a washing machine. It was an old, one of these spin tubs that you had. Some of you remember from way back when it had a wringer you put the clothes through. They were able to buy that thing, but the wirings were so run out on that you had to stick your arm in it to get it started because the windups weren't working too well. And then electricity was only twice in the week for 10 hours. And then they had those twins that had to have goat milk because they had allergies, with no refrigerator to store it in. And then he talked about at night. He talked about the tree roaches. He said, you think you've seen tree roaches? He said, those boogers were 3 inches long. And at nighttime, they'd line up on top of the big old cement blocks, and they'd take turns dive-bombing their mosquito nets. Bam, 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 waking the twins up. And he said, after 6 months, I was ready to go home. That's culture shock. You know, I just got my money, I'm going to go down. And he said, about that time, they're feeling like they're going to quit. They start getting letters. How many churches have you started? How many people have you seen saved? He said, you're lucky we're still here. He went on to say it came to a point where he gave up. One of those nights when the kids were crying and he went to get the milk, I forgot to tell you, they rented a refrigerator shelf 2 blocks away from their house, out behind the house, and he'd have to go get the milk in the middle of the night. The kids were crying. He said, I should have gone right home, but I didn't want to even face going home. So I went up, and there was a man from Michigan that had one of those Aerostream trailers had come down into Mexico. Why he came to that village, he had no clue, but they had made friendship. And he thought, he knocked on his door at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he said, I thought you'd like the first to know next week we're packing up and going back to Indiana. And, you know, that guy had always been so nice to him and tried to encourage him, and the missionary was not nice at all. He said, you what? And he just dressed him out. He said, don't even come back to my door. You're a failure for God. I mean, it was enough to make him bad enough to stay. Now he's been there 50-some years. You know, you listen to stories and it sounds funny and it sounds, but that's reality. Missionaries are going through the battles, and it's not just places like on the other side of the border. I mean, it's 10 times more than that in places where there's persecution and they don't know what's going to happen. Their kids are in danger. All kinds of stuff going on. Persistence, persistence. I'm just going to go through these last ones. I don't want to take all the time. I just want to give you a Next, we need to pray for their physical health. Right in the middle of all this, a wife's health breaks, a child has a problem, a missionary starts having back problems, Fred has liver problems. And you think, maybe I ought to come home. Do you have health problems? Do you have a back problem? Does your foot bother you? Do you get headaches? Do you have a neck that hurts? Can you imagine being in the front lines discouraged? Pray for their physical health. We get in their letters and they say some things about their health. We ought to pick up on that and get on our knees and pray for God to deliver them physically. We need to next of all pray for them to be delivered personally. Some of them are in tremendously dangerous fields. We talk about the Mossmans not wanting their name to be put out where it can be, they can be put away from the field. But you know, missionaries can be picked up, put in prison, and never heard of again. Put in jail. We had a missionary that was to Togo years ago. He knew he was coming home. This was his last tour to be in Togo, and he was going to retire. And there were some people on the field that had gotten so used to him being there and the American money coming in and subsidizing that they began to blackmail that missionary and tell him, if you didn't do such and such, that we're, and they began to threaten him. Well, he didn't give in to their threats. And next thing you know, they went to the Ministry of the Interior and filed all kinds of lying lawsuits against them. It took him 2 years before he could leave the field. They tied him up literally, legally, before he could fly on an airplane to leave Togo. We have no idea what missionaries are going through. We need to pray for their deliverance. There's all kinds of stories of people. I think of the Aka Indians, Nate Saint and others, and how they flew in to preach to them and only to be killed. Missionaries still die. Where the Mossmans were, my mind, what's the country? There's just a missionary killed there last year. Caught in crossfire. Man only been in the field, 2 weeks? Shot right through the head. Killed. We need to pray for their deliverance. Brother Ronk told me probably about 10, 15 years ago down in Brazil, he was getting ready to come back from furlough. And as they were going to the airport, they got in the middle of a political riot, and they recognized that they were Americans, and they took their car and began to shake it and turn it and twist it and pick it up and bang it. And he and his wife and his kids were in the car, and he said, I don't know if we're going to get out of here. And it happened just like that. We need to pray for their physical deliverance. We have no idea. We live in a stable society, and we hear things like what happened at Walmart. It shakes us to the core. That happens in societies on steroids elsewhere. Pray for their deliverance. Pray for their finances. It takes money to stay in the field. Here you're bold and you persist and you do all these other things, and some church drops you for no reason. They're giving you $100 a month. And they promised as long as you're on the field, they're going to support you. And they write you and say, we've decided not to support you anymore. Good luck. And all of a sudden, they're $100 short every month for the rest of their term. You know, I have a rule. The men know it on our board. I believe we know it as a church. We don't drop a missionary while they're out on the field. Unless they're just a flat heretic and they're denying God. And I've never had that happen. The time, if we're going to talk about a missionary we don't feel comfortable with, is while they're home and they can replace it. But you do, you stick your foot out there as a missionary and you promise to hold the ropes and you jerk the financial rope back. What a shame for a church to do that. And yet churches do that. We had a missionary that came through. We did not support them, but they were through. And I'd known him a couple times. He would park in our church parking lot back on Hammerley. And one day he came through and he was spending the night and we took him out to eat and had him in our home. And he said, I am so discouraged. They had lost some support for whatever reason. He'd come home on furlough. He'd spend a year and a half replacing it. He had just gone back and he was down in South America somewhere. I believe Mexico or somewhere there. And they'd been at back in the field, arranged all their summer camps. And all of a sudden they heard that their home church had decided to close their mission board. that he was out under. Never consulted him. They went back home. It was too late. The board was going to close. They had written letters. We are dropping all of our missionaries. Be assured there is no issue that they have done, but we are no longer to support them. Well, do you know what a lot of the pastors read in that letter in their mind? They're just not telling what the real dirt is. And overnight, he lost 50% of his support. What did he do wrong? Nothing. He had to come off the field for another year and a half to raise support, scrap the whole summer program. Can you imagine going through, being that tenuous? We need to pray that God will provide the finances for our missionaries. They live by faith. And many missionaries, they're chomping at the bit. You know, they're always talking about, are you at 100%? Do you know when missionaries really are chomp? They get out at 75%. They say, can I go? We'll leave. We'll really live sacrificially. Do you know most mission boards will say, absolutely not, because there's going to be attrition of support as you're on the field. We won't put you at risk. A good mission board's trying to help that missionary. But we need to pray for their finances. That God will help churches to increase, not decrease, to sustain and not quit. And sometimes churches just flat close. Where's the finances for that missionary? We had a missionary that we had supported for several years. They came home only to find their home church had decided to close its doors. And they were their sending, financially handling church. And they informed them, after this year, you're out on your own. Can you imagine all of this happening financially to a missionary? Now, I don't want to discourage you. I feel like maybe I have here at the end. I'm trying to tell you, our missionaries need prayer. I'm trying to give you a real reflection. And I think probably I've only gone the surface. The personal things, the discouragements, the battle, the overwhelming odds they face, the culture. And then people lie about you. Do you know missionaries get letters every once in a while sent around about them that they believe something they don't believe? Mark Batory, who's the head of Gospel Fellowship Missions, was with us probably about 10 years ago in a missions conference we had. And he told us, he said, I have a file of letters that have been sent to our missionaries that people have actually asked the missionaries questions of the most ridiculous things in the world. And then drop them like that. We need to support our missionaries. Love them. Get behind them. They're human beings that are trusting God, and they're our spiritual heroes. I hope tonight your heart's been stirred. Can I read that list of missionaries one more time to you? And maybe tonight your heart might sink into one of these missionaries just a little further than it did a few moments ago. The Ronks are in Brazil. The Batories are the head of Gospel Fellowship Missions. The Thompsons have the literature ministry based out of Georgia. The Mossmans are in Chapman's in Moldova and Malawi. Southland Christian Camp in Ringgold, Louisiana. The Hernandez down in where in Mexico? Ucla, that's right. The Wards in Japan. The Bottoms here in Houston in prison ministry. The Fuelers in Germany. The Minks in Japan. Neighborhood Bible Time. The Rings in Brazil. The Geralds in India. And others that you may want to include. I hope that you'll pray for our missionaries. Has your heart been stirred? I hope it has. I hope I haven't given a negative picture. I'm trying to paint a picture of reality. Our missionaries earnestly desire and need and deserve support in prayer. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd stir our hearts, first of all, to missions to begin with. Second of all, to support missions financially. Then third of all, to get on our knees and to continue instant, in season, out of season, to pray for these people that have pledged with us to shed the gospel abroad. Father, would you bring more good missionaries that we can get behind and love over the next years? And Father, may you do a good work in our own church by calling some of our young people or maybe our couples to go and be in the work of missions. And Lord, we thank you for the two or three, the Mossmans, the Thompsons, the Minks that have had a part of going out from here. We thank you for those. And we pray for others. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed, I'm not